Ladies and gents, and welcome back to another episode of the Beyond Retro Podcast. I am Nathan Kennedy, and I'm here with Joe Amato back in his old mask. And this week's episode, we're going to talk about Hatchet, which, to start this off, the time period that this came out, it came out in 2006 and maybe even 2005. It was like mid-2000s, and at the time, I thought we were beginning to hit a really good sweet spot. You know, we had Rob Zombie's movies coming out. I watched this. Hostel became a thing and put Eli Roth on the map. But some of that stuff, and I'm almost afraid to go back and watch Hostel because I don't know if that's going to hold up. And that's kind of what I was worried about revisiting this, and we'll get more into it. But Joe, how's it going, man?
It's going okay. It's going okay. No, you know, when you're speaking of Hostel, I remember when I seen that, it was just, for me, it was just like, it's just like they were just trying to do over-the-top gore. Like, just everybody trying to match it. Like, you know, you got the Saw movies that, you know, are all gory, and then you got the Hostel movies, and now it's like just, it's always like, who's going to top the other, but is the story still good? So Hostel, for me, never really did it. And this is what's bizarre is, as for Hatchet, never seen it, and I know I get so much, you know, so much flack from people when they were like, "I thought you were a big Kane Hodder fan. You know, you like Jason. You ain't seen this." I was like, "I just never seen it." And, you know, you recommend this, like, I gotta see it, and I really liked it. I really love this movie, Hatchet. This has over the top gore too. It does.
Yeah,
because but the thing is with Hostel, I don't know, just something. But this, I know, it's a killer. He's doing this stuff, and they did go over the top. But for me, I think the reason it worked is because this movie I still didn't take seriously. Like, from the beginning, you know, it felt kind of funny. It felt laid back. Felt like everybody was buddies. Even into the part where they started getting into, you know, like the swamp and there were some killings. Then they tried to be a little serious at points, but then it still went back to being silly. I don't know. It was like, it was a fun horror movie. It wasn't a serious one. We're Hostel, like you said, still trying to feel serious.
Well,
this movie, go ahead.
Well, the thing with Hostel that I did enjoy, I did like the twist that happened, but I just don't think that overall, looking back on it, I don't think it's something that I would want to go back and revisit.
No.
I just don't think I would have any fun with it. And in the case,
no, that's what I mean. Yeah. You can't enjoy it. Like you said, you go back and watch this. It's like it's trying to be serious. Yes, I had a twist, but it just seems almost depressing. Whereas Hatchet, you know what you're in for. It's just going to be one of those typical good hack'em slash'em horror movies trying to be funny but also being over the top to where it can work for this kind of movie. So it was the first time I ever seen it, and I really enjoyed it.
Which honestly is surprising with you being we go back to that with you being the Jason Voorhees fan. You would think that, because that was the immediate draw for this. Back when it came out, I was like, "Oh shit, Kane Hodder's back in a suit again, hacking people up." I'm like, "All right, yeah, let's check it out." And this spawned three sequels, by the way, which
are they all still Kane Hodder? Because I still got to see them. They did? Okay.
As far as I know, they are all Kane Hodder, but I haven't seen any of them. I have Hatchet 2 that I got on DVD in the shelf over there, but I've never popped that in. And then we got Hatchet 3, and then just Victor Crowley. So
I liked it. What I like though is it shows Kane, he doesn't have to do the same character. It's not like you were watching, hey, that's Jason, you know, but it's a ugly deformed, you know, guy with the hatchet. Of course, yes, we know with Jason how he looks, but he portrayed him different, a little more psychotic, and the screaming and looking up in the air and being more wiry. I like the different portrayal. You know, he has a good range of being these horror killers and characters. But I also like anytime there's like a little, you know, like not just Easter eggs, but, you know, hey, Robert Englund's in.
Hey, there's Tony Todd.
There's Tony Todd. And I thought they did that for Wishmaster also. I thought they did that where there was like everybody in. It was either Wishmaster 1. Yeah, okay. I couldn't remember which one. But, well, at least with this one, you know, Robert Englund. You can say, hey, Freddy got killed by Jason. Even though we never seen nothing. He didn't. But yes, it was just cool to see the other ones. And even seeing, like I said, there was times where, like, when you had Tony Todd or Candyman, when he's trying to sell, you know, tell that scary, serious story, and then it turns into, you know, oh, the guy slipped Bell and, you know, tried to sue me, that motherfucker, or whatever he said. I don't know. It kind of just lets you off the hook at times.
I think that, for the most part, the humor works. Now, Marcus, you have to have in these slasher movies your token black guy. That's just the rules. That's how it happens. He didn't die first, though, but he was kind of the one that had all the one-liner, like the funny stuff. And for the most,
oh, the crabs part is what killed me. When they were on that bus, when they were on the bus, and he looked over, she scratched. Oh, goddamn! Or whatever he said. Just like the story.
I think my favorite part is my favorite line of his is like after she had shot Victor Crowley. And sorry, guys, that we're kind of already all over the place. We'll go back and kind of cover, like, here's the main story and all this shit. But
if they're new, I mean, if they're used to what we've always done, you're right. We're all over the place.
Yeah.
We don't do a bit by bit and make you feel like you're watching the movie in case you've never seen it. But yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, after she had shot Crowley and she was like, maybe he's still alive. And that's when the one dude was dead, and he's like, no, he looks pretty fucking dead to me. Where the guy got his head twisted around.
Yes.
Yeah, I thought that was a good part. But for the most part, all of his lines worked. There were a couple things I was just like, come on, man. Like, you could have written something way better than that. But let's backtrack. Let's get into, like, the main core of the story. We're in New Orleans. It's Mardi Gras. Titties are out. We got the beads. And we join Marcus and the main character's name, Ben. Am I right on that?
I'm gonna be honest.
We're terrible with names. Awful with names.
Well, at least for this one, we're good with other movies. But this one, no. I just seen it yesterday. I'd be honest. I wasn't knowing the names of any of them except Mary Beth because of the guy who made when he's sitting there flirting with her on the bus or trying to make small talk. And he's saying, Mary Beth, yeah, usually girls just have one name and then two. And hey, nice coat. And he's trying to. I just got a kick out of his just awkwardness.
Yeah.
But go ahead.
But they're down there to party, and obviously our main character is sort of just along for the ride because his girlfriend of 8 years, broke up with him.
Oh, wait. And we forgot how it did start. It started, remember, with Robert Englund with his son in the boat.
Yeah. So I guess we backtrack even more. We got Robert Englund and another guy.
Yeah, because it'll make sense with the one girl.
Yeah, we're in the boat. They're hunting gators, and they get destroyed. We get a brief glimpse of Victor Crowley, but they're down there partying. Dude's like, hey, let's go check this out. And essentially it's just tourist bullshit. You know, they get caught up with a group. They're going on a spooky boat ride, and it's an Asian guy with a Cajun accent that's telling stories off of his note cards, which... were there any characters that got on your nerves? I think the one that bothered me the most was the blonde-headed chick because she just cried the whole time.
You know, in a lot of horror movies, they do usually have that one character that does get on your nerves or you hope would die. But it's like everybody felt like it was so quirky and silly with some of their characters that I almost didn't care. It's like, okay, the one almost forgettable character could have been the guy that was, you know, shooting the softcore porn with those two girls.
By the way, I saw him and I was like, damn it, like, he looks familiar. So I looked him up and I was like, oh yeah, he was like the friend in Dharma and Greg. But then I did some more
research. Oh, I never seen that show.
I did some more research on him, not like it takes much, just Wikipedia, but turns out that is Bill Murray's brother.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
Well, it's weird. He was, for me, the most just forgettable. Not that I was like, go ahead and kill him. I can't stand him. It's just like, he was just there. I mean, hell, even the older couple, the guy and the lady, they were more memorable, but I couldn't say anybody even got on my nerves, not even, the blonde chick, because it worked. I liked her and her back and forth with the other,
I'm sure there were a couple things about her that you liked, Joe.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, definitely. But, I mean, it just, you know, how she would try to insult and could never make a good insult or something that wouldn't make sense when she was sitting there wanting to call the cops and for what? To get the police. And the one woman said, ain't they the same thing? No, they're different.
And the 911 call. Yeah.
Exactly. No, it's not the area code. Mariko could be different. So it's, I didn't want anybody to die, and that's what you like about this movie. And of course, this whole thing is spoilers. Like I said, we're all over the place on it, but that was the cool twist is when it's towards the end and you just had the one guy and the girl and they're playing that peaceful music, almost like the original Friday 13 at the end with the boat. Yeah. And I was waiting for the whole jump scare the whole time. It happens. But what's great is just everybody dies. This is a horror movie where there was no forgiveness. There wasn't that lone survivor.
No, yeah.
Everybody got killed.
And there was,
so I kind of like that.
There wasn't a forgiveness with the kills either. And by the way, the main character, his name was Ben. But
Ben?
Yeah, to tie it all back, it's kind of just your cliche thing. Spooky boat ride, dudes telling stories. We have the older couple. We have Ben and his friend Marcus. We have Bill Murray's brother, who is like the girls gone wild, and he's got his two girls there. He's gonna make them famous. And then we have Mary Beth, who is sort of just the outcast who's sitting there. She knows what's up, and as it turns out, she's trying to find her dad and her brother, Robert Englund, and that other guy, and. Mm-hmm. It's your typical cliche boat gets stuck. They're like, hey, well, here's some land right here. And of course, the old dude's like, we can just go across, and then like fucking crotches himself when he's trying because he slips on the thing. I was like, damn, yeah, that had to hurt. And that's when we get the real story. So the story before that, the fake Cajun Asian tour guide was saying was that, which he almost had it right.
Yeah, he was reading off his cue cards. Remember, he had all his cue cards because that was his new job, is doing the tours.
Yeah, and it turns out that there was this deformed kid, and he had his dad who basically abandoned him, and they called him Hatchet Face because he took a hatchet to the face. And it turns out that the dad was actually really caring, also played by Kane Hodder. Which in those little moments in the flashbacks, that's what I've always enjoyed, and it's what Kane has talked about. When Tyler and I went and saw him, and he kind of talked about his career and everything, that when he had an opportunity to step out behind the mask or out of the suit, he always made it a point and always wanted to really show emotion. And you see that in the flashback. He doesn't say anything, but just there's something about his face. There's just like a. I don't know where he goes to mentally.
Well, you know, it's,
but you can just see that on the screen. Because he actually could
show it. Yeah, it was like a tenderness, like showing his son, because he has a son who's really, you know, deformed, and the son was always in the house. But of course, you know, sometimes he would, you know, take him out, keep him in the truck while he'd have to go get, you know, just food in town or whatever. And then there's nasty kids that would, you know, knock on the window to make fun. But, you know, you seen him because, you know, from what you said, when the one guy who's doing the tours, you thought, oh, this would be a nasty, mean father to his son. But then you see him feeding him, and he would actually blow on the food before he gave him the spoon. And then when the fire happened that, you know, he couldn't get in. Like, there's these three mean kids around Halloween that were throwing, like, firecrackers or whatever, but it started a fire.
Yeah.
And,
think throwing firecrackers at a house? What did they think was going to happen?
Yeah, exactly. Dumb but, folks. Yeah, so here's a fire, and Victor's trying to get out, and he can't get out. And then, of course, his father gets home, and he's trying to bang into the door, and he can't do it. So he gets a hatchet, and he's, you know, chopping at the door, and his son is close to the door. His face is right there, and bam, that's how he gets the hatchet in the face. And his son, you know, of course, thought was supposed to have died, and his father went through, like, a 7-8-year depression before he just withered away and died.
Yeah,
he just stayed in the house.
Died of a broken heart.
Of a broken heart. Yeah, I'm glad you said that. So it showed, and you've seen his face with that. But of course, you know, just the evil spirit, or not even evil spirit, vengeful spirit,
vengeful
you could say.
Spirit, yeah.
Victor Crowe. Yeah,
and
still
the cool,
there.
The cool part was after telling that story, it's like, oh, the house is right there. So,
oh, yeah, when they did that.
Yeah. So it turns out that where they crash landed and where they are is where the house is. And
and it's not where the tour guy said, because he was saying, it's over there. He's like, no, actually, where is it? Right there.
Yeah.
And they have to go past that. Yeah.
And we get almost a good close to an hour before we even reach this point. Everything else is sort of character building the mythology of Victor Crowley. But I have it here on the screen in the TV. This is actually the first kill, because the old man who crotched himself and hurt his leg trying to be the first one off is the first victim of Victor Crowley, which looks.
Well, I mean, we did at the beginning. You did see the son of, you know, her, that one girl's brother getting his spine ripped
out.
Well, you know?
I mean, out of the main core cast.
The main core. Old guy. Well, he got it good too. They all got it
and
good.
The,
but go ahead.
The best thing about these kills, all practical. No tricks. And he gets the hatchet right here, as you guys can see on the screen, and it does look a little silly. You can see like the extra part with his arm hanging off, but I'm like, this is great. But his wife, arguably the best kill. She's running. He grabs her, and they did this really cool shot. It wasn't one shot. It was probably a cut, but you see her like. He just rips her fucking mouth open and her tongue's flying out. And you get the good blood, like, air cannon shot where it's just like, poof. And I always love that stuff. Hey, what was your favorite kill in the film?
Well, that was interesting. I mean, I like that they were trying to be creative, you know, for almost all of them. Of course, it just wanted to be over-the-top gory, but again, like I said, unlike Hostel, for this, it works because I understand what they're doing for this. But, I mean, at the beginning, he's just ripping, like I said, the one son and ripping his spine out. Then you have that part where the older guy is getting slashed and slashed and slashed. Then the woman gets her head split open. Then later, one of the whores, she's getting, like, was that, like, supposed to be a sandblaster using right
like,
now?
It's like a cordless sandblaster, right? Right on her face.
On the face, I mean, and then after he kills the tour guide, after he like chopped his head off and
that was a good one too. He
that was a good combo.
Cuts his ankle off. He's already laying on the ground. Then puts the shovel like right on his neck and just like bam, head goes flying.
And then kicks out. Yeah, just like when you're like if you're trying to dig up something, you have to get the extra kick with your foot. So he does that. And then when he gets the rest of the whore after her face, when he picks her up and just jams her through the handle of the shovel that was there.
Ground, like, yeah, and then like crunches her down, just keeps pushing. Yeah.
Yes, damn. Yes. And I'm trying to remember how the there was like a couple ways he got the producer guy. I know that he finished him off by slamming him, I think, against a tree or a building or something. What did he do with that guy?
He twisted his head all the way around, and then
got the head twist.
Yeah.
Okay, he got the head twist, but yeah, the comical guy towards the end, he's the one that got the arms ripped off, and then they got the kind of like homage to the sleeping bag thing.
Yeah,
and
thrown against like the little shit.
Was it a tombstone or a mausoleum or mosque?
A mausoleum. It was just like a little building. Kind of.
Okay. Yeah. So he got a good one too. The blonde girl. I don't think we got to see anything except parts.
Yeah, you didn't see her death, and you didn't even hear anything because Ben's in there trying to find the gasoline because they decided that they're gonna light him on fire.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, all you see is just like her sweater that Marcus notices, and he yells at Ben to get out, and then that's when like the head gets thrown, and then the torso gets thrown in there. So that was kind of funny as well. I wish we could have seen her death though, because she annoyed me the most out of everybody.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, I know sometimes like for some horror movies, there was a lot of deaths you never seen. You just seen, like you said, the aftermath, the bodies, and for whatever parts it could, you know, it just worked. Maybe they just, I don't know if that was just how they chose to do it. If there was just time constraints, maybe they figured how would we show this, but maybe it was just, silent. You just seen she's dead. He's getting the gas, trying to find gasoline. And then here just comes parts. So it made it work, but and then towards the end, and you know, like the two survive. Oh wait, before the two survivors, I like when Victor grabbed like one of those spikes off of the the fence that went around the cemetery, and as they're running away, just I don't know, you could say maybe it was like a javelin or something, how it came and boom, and just impaled that guy's leg into the ground, and then here comes Victor running. I was like, that was a hell of a shot.
Yeah, a little unrealistic, but damn, would that be painful, just having a spike, like, go right, because it went through his foot.
Yeah.
And just, like...
And it led to, I guess, the good combination, because, like I said, how Kane portrayed him, you know, this, just for those who maybe, you know, have never seen, you know, Hatchet, because, like I said, I've never seen it until yesterday, so I'm sure there's still others that never have. This isn't going to be the kind of, like, slow moving and breathing, and it's not the Jason thing. It's a psychotic betrayal. I love how he did it because he's so bloodlust on wanting to kill that after that throw and that impaling of the foot, you just see him running insanely towards Ben.
Yeah.
And Ben's trying to push the spike out because he's figuring if he's going to charge me like a bull, maybe he'll just keep on coming. And then boom, that's what he did. Yep. Oh, that was the other stuff. Is before that, they had some gross, nasty stuff. Like when they were trying to get out of the cemetery earlier, and when Victor like fell on Ben, and he just starts spitting into his mouth. Like, that part almost made me sick. And then you see Ben do it later. Then he's like puking up whatever was spitting in his mouth. And he gets spit on with blood when he impales Victor, but go ahead.
Well, and that's the funny part, too, when he impales Victor, and then you expect, like, that jump scare, and then it's just, like, blood shoots out of his mouth onto Ben's face.
Uh-huh.
And he's just like, So, yeah.
Because it's like, he can't get it off. You know, first he's getting puked or in his mouth, and then it's like, bam, just when you think it's over, just another little spit of blood, but... I'll pass it back to you.
We kind of blew through this in record time, honestly. The movie's not very long, guys. It's only 83 minutes or something like that. So there's not...
It's a quick one.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like there's not a lot. Like you said, I mean, there's not really a lot of story. Like how you can kind of... Okay, unlike, you know, the Friday the 13th movies, you know, they pace it different. They go to this cabin, a part of the woods, whatever. It's just these guys all together at the same time, almost at all times. Unlike a lot of movies where there's like, okay, let's split up. You go here, you go here. Sure, there's parts when there's slight division of the group, but it's like, you know, with the guy who's, you know, shooting the movie. Yeah. He just, you know, ran his ass off like they all were. But like when it got towards the end, they still all agreed, we have to go back to the house to see if there's some gasoline. Maybe we can light them on fire. They didn't do the typical, okay, you guys stay here and we go here. So the pacing went quick because they're always together. So even when they went towards that, you know, house towards the end, two of them stayed, or about three of them stayed outside while two were going to look for other weapons. And then, of course, eventually then they go back to look for gasoline because there was a couple parts where they did a double back at both parts.
Well, I mean, like, it was the first time they didn't even realize they were doing it. They're like, oh, shit, we just went in a circle. We're back at the house.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was it. And then they even tried to stretch out a part. And it worked. You'd think it was silly, but the part where there was that raccoon in the bush, and you got all three of them that are sitting there looking, and they're talking about it, and they're like, it could be a person, it could be a kid. I'm thinking, well, they're right there, say something. But they dragged out so much.
Yeah, they did. I was like, why are we still on this bit? It's like, oh, yeah, it's a raccoon. Bam, there's Victor Crowley right behind him. That scene went way... it just seemed unnecessary, honestly. They could have... trim that down immensely, because I'm like, why the fuck are we still on this? They're just standing there, just looking at this bush. Like, come on.
Yeah, like you said, it wasn't a long movie, and maybe they just, like you said, didn't have any other ideas and for comic relief, because this movie is just full of a lot of funny parts, yeah. But it still just works for what it is, but maybe they thought that just kind of worked, the insanity of, like, are we really looking at them? Look at this fucking bush for almost 5 minutes and talk about it. It's like, just go up to it, you know, and then finally go up. Oh, and end up being a raccoon because you're wondering, okay, is this Victor killing a cat in the bush? They're really stretching this joke for a while. And then when they finally see it's a raccoon and the one girl's standing back, bam, there's Victor, and then he gets her. But you're right, they stretched it, but I guess it worked. But you're right, it might have been just maybe a minute too long.
Yeah, I don't know how they come to those decisions or why they think that certain things would be a good idea. And the thing with Adam Green, the director of this film, obviously has a love for horror, so maybe it was just intentional. But I think if I were doing the movie like that, then I would want, for me anyway, I would want to cut out shit like that and just make it more straight to the point. And I guess I'll pose this question to you. If you were given the opportunity to do something that was an original idea, but still a cliche thing in the horror genre, what would you want or expect, or how would you write it? Because to me, I would find that balance between funny and kind of serious, but I would also definitely go for the practical effect kills. And have those.
Oh yeah, plenty. Definitely no.
Well, what would be your do's and don'ts if you were handed the project of anything? Like, but
well, my don'ts would definitely be no computer special effects for any of the blood, guts, gore, kills, any of that. The practical effects, like I said, are always the best. They always can seem like that because since you could tell it is real, even though, yes, it's fake, but yeah. You could tell, wow, that looks like real blood pouring out. Oh my God, it looks like guts hanging and body parts split in half. It's comparing to, like, let's say in Jason X, which, like I said, it's maybe not everybody's favorite. I still enjoy it, yeah. But you know, when there's the parts when the kills, it's all computer, and it's like, God, that just looks, it's so terrible. It takes me out of the moment of believing this. Like, we know it's a fake movie and everything's fake, but I still want to, like, feel like I'm somehow involved in this movie to where it's believable and think, God, that is really happening. But when I see the computers doing it, it completely takes me out. But also, yes, while I said there's a lot of humor in this and I enjoyed it for what it is for this movie because it worked, because it's a fun horror movie. But in a horror movie, I don't want that much humor if I want to be frightened also, because you got to build up that atmosphere and to feel scared, because at no point in this movie did I feel scared. I just kept thinking, when's his ass going to jump out and what's going to be the next crazy kill? Because it was just a fun, good popcorn, you know, horror movie for, you know, Halloween or any time. But it didn't have any suspense of anything like a Halloween movie. No. Didn't have some of that real creepiness like, you know, Nightmare on Elm Street. And didn't have the intimidating, also scariness of, fuck, where is Jason? What's he going to do? And playing that atmosphere music. You got to have good music, too, because this movie wasn't full of that kind of music that brought you in.
Not at all.
Just non-existent. So, yeah, just a little more atmosphere, more horror feel, less humor, and no computer crap, all practical effects, and I think you could have a great horror movie. But I still enjoyed this, but I guess that's what I always want and like in a horror movie.
Yeah, I kind of go in a variety of different directions, depending on what I want to digest. If I want something really atmospheric and a slow burn, there's a movie called House of the Devil that came out, I want to say 2008, 2009, but it looks like it came out of the 70s or early 80s. And then there's times I want something like this. I don't want to think about anything. I want to see some good kills, some good practical effects. And if it's kind of funny too along the way, and I actually laugh at it, not something where they think they're being funny and I'm like, yeah, that didn't
right.
work. I think if it were up to me, I would probably stray more towards the really atmospheric, probably a little more serious tone. I just miss slasher movies in general. We've said this time and time again. I kind of hate right now that we're sort of stuck with anything that has a wide release. It's just like paranormal, like ghost stuff. And I'm like,
it's everything haunting a doll. Yeah. You're right. It's like, okay, here's another Annabelle. Here's another Annabelle. And then here was when they did The Ring and The Grudge and they went to Paranormal Activity. Then they got into – what were the most recent ones with all those we were just talking about them last – I thought we mentioned them last week. The ones where they go into the other realm and like that demon that looked like my mask that I was mentioning. What the hell were those? I thought they were
Insidious.
And yeah, the Insidious, and I thought there was even another, but those, it's like, no, they're good. Don't get me wrong, some are good, but Paranormal Activity, oh, God, that talk about a snore fest. I was like, I sat there and waited over an hour. It's like, oh, wow, something moved. Oh, this is frightening. And I was like, oh, piss off with this shit. I never want to watch any of those.
I don't either, and that's kind of the problem with, like, wide-release main horror. Now, if you guys dig deep enough and see stuff that either comes straight to DVD or digital and really do your research, there are quite a few hidden gems that take chances, somewhat original ideas. But as far as like mainstream horror these days, it's either your ghost and your demons, or it's just straight up, hey, we remade this, take it. Like,
yeah, like, okay, like, don't get me wrong, I love the remake. I mean, not remake, I love this new Halloween that we got just recently. It was great, it had a good feel, and it did feel like the old days. And I'm thinking, okay, you've seen how successful that was, people, and it made a ton of money. Can we get more of them? And can you give us back Jason?
You are. There's going to be two more sequels to that. I'm like,
yeah, two more. And hopefully they don't water it down. Yeah, I know, because I get concerned.
What else can we do here based off of how that reboot sequel, whatever you would like to call it, because it is just a continuation from the first film, but it's like, it's retconning everything else. Whatever.
Yeah.
The way that ended, I'm like, what? Do we really need more? Why couldn't we have just left it at that? I don't know.
You're right. I don't want them to push it. They do with almost everything push it. But I mean, if they had a couple and it stops after that, okay, fine. But for like Friday the 13th, those just always work. Every time there's a movie when Jason comes up, it's always great. So it's like, okay, you see, people do want that.
I was gonna say, well, you know, the problem with that is now we have that lawsuit thing, which apparently is gonna become more of a prevalent thing with certain properties, with the way that it's gonna revert back to like the writer, the rights. Well, so there's gonna be a lot of issues with like Nightmare on Elm Street, Halloween, especially like. It's all going to take a turn.
I hate that that has to happen. You're right. Yeah. And like I said, because it's, you know, those are the only kind of main horror icons we've had. They always try to make a couple new ones, but it just...
You don't think Jigsaw is a new horror icon? I don't like the Saw movies.
I always hate when they would put him, or especially, you know, Ghostface, or as I like to call Father Death, because if you remember the original Scream, when they had the, you know, the Halloween costume in the movie, it was called Father Death, and I thought, hey, that could have been the name, but they call him Ghostface. Well, anyways, they're like, oh, it's a kid in an outfit. Oh, it's a couple kids in outfits with knives. Oh, this is intimidating. It's like, you're not supernatural.
They were inspired by the movies, Joe.
Yeah, those always, to me, did nothing for me. But I miss, these kind of like unstoppable horror characters, and people do still like them, because case in point, like I said, with Halloween, it shows they wanted it. When Friday the 13th remake came out in 2009, people loved that. That did great too. So it's like, just give us some more of that. We do enjoy it, and I'd hope they can do it, and I'd hope they would do like how when we spoke at Trick or Treat a couple weeks ago. That was fun.
Yeah.
That was good, and I would like to see, you know, yes, I'd like to finally see a sequel, but movies that can follow somewhat along those paths as well, because there's a good variety of different types of horror movies. But just don't make them just, you know, too complicated. And like I said, in trying to, you know, make you dazzled with all the special effects, or just, I don't know, sometimes they just try too hard and these movies just do nothing. They tank. So I guess we'll see how they come in the future, but I'd hope for more stuff. And this one, yes, Hatchet. Now I will have to see the other ones. I don't know if they'll be as good as this one, but I enjoyed this
movie. Yeah, same here. I don't know why I've put it off for so long, but I think it's time for me to start absorbing. And if you guys do have Amazon Prime Video, then you can check out the sequels, I think, except for Victor Crowley. But 2 and 3 are on there, so if you do have Prime Video, then, check those out. And I want to recommend too, maybe I'll put a link down below, if you guys enjoyed Never Hike Alone, they actually have some sequels planned out. This one's going to be a prequel called Never Hike in the Snow.
Now, are they going to be a little shorter though, like not as long or something?
I'm actually excited for those, because
I'm gonna back it, because I haven't backed anything before, but I wanted to back that Kickstarter, because I think you can get a DVD of the first Never Hike Alone, and I don't know the other bonus stuff for this. The one I missed out, and damn, I wish I would have known about it. If you would have backed this, you know, upcoming Never Hike Alone, or, you know, with the one in the snow, you would have got, I think, a VHS tape.
Oh, that's awesome.
Of the original of Never Hike Alone, and it looks so cool. Damn it, man, if you guys have never seen that, if you're wanting a great fan-made movie, because I've said it before when we talked about Never Hike Alone the one time, it's the first fan movie I've ever watched that feels like an official released movie at the theaters. It doesn't feel fan-made. Like, there's we're going to be talking about Friday the 13th Vengeance probably one of these upcoming weeks too.
We'll have to wait for that discussion, but yeah, go check out our commentary for Never Hike Alone, or just check it out. It's on YouTube in full. The guys put it up on there, and support them for their sequels moving forward, because that it's nice to see that passion. And
oh, definitely.
And I think we'll probably get some more of that. And I
like to even talk about both, like, not a comparison, like, you know, saying one to the other, but, you know, a good talk about Never Hike Alone, because now that, you know, this other fan movie came out, Friday the 13th Vengeance, just to get a little discussion about both types of these fan films. I think it kind of does deserve slight comparison.
Okay.
Just to give our opinions, because I have to say something about that. But maybe, I don't know, maybe next week or the week after, if you feel like it. I'd love to talk about them both.
Okay. Yeah, let's set it up for the week after.
Okay.
And we'll have to kind of discuss more of what we would like to do next week. Maybe we should kind of Because we've kind of done some newer stuff, newish stuff the past couple weeks. Maybe we either stay on that track or we go back and pick an old favorite or something that neither one of us has revisited.
We do stick, because like I said, we both love our horror movies and lots of things, from cheesy ones to good ones to anything you could think of. I mean, I didn't even know if like this kind of podcast for this should be renamed.
I don't know.
Terror Talk or something.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I don't know. We might have to rename it, because this is kind of the main focus for Joe and myself. I would say that we're both in agreement that it is our favorite genre of film. Not to say that I don't like other stuff, but horror movies just lend itself to a better conversation, in my opinion.
I always had an affinity for horror movies. I love, like you said, all categories, but just something about horror movies, I always really get a kick out of.
Yeah, so maybe Joe and I will talk and we'll rebrand the show. I know Emily and I still kick around the idea of like, hey, we'll watch a movie together and then we'll just record an audio podcast and I'll just make it Beyond Retro. So maybe that can transition to Beyond Retro, and you and I can start calling this something else. I don't know. We'll talk. We'll discuss.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't...
Oh, wait, time to give the rating. I give this one, as much as I like, though, I'll give it 4 out of 5. I really enjoyed it. There's things, like I said, I'd like to have been different, but I still enjoyed it a lot. So it's my first time seeing it, but I give it a 4 out of 5 for stars.
I'm bouncing between 3.5 or 4. I'll go ahead and give it a 4 as well, because the practical kills, the practical effects, for me, just give it that extra edge. And at the time when this came out, it seemed like practical effects were just non-existent in all genres of film. This is when we really started hitting hard with the CGI and everything.
Yeah,
and CGI can work, and CGI, it looks amazing in a lot of things. It still baffles me that Jurassic Park looks better than most of the stuff that's coming out now, and that came out, oh God, almost, we're creeping up, almost 30 years ago. So that's refreshing to see. I hope we get more of it. It's nice to see that people that were fans of it, like we were growing up, absorbing it, want to take that passion and bring it to the screen, like we talked about with Never Hike Alone, etc. But yeah, we'll figure out what we're going to talk about next week. Joe, is there anything else, any customs you want to talk about real quick, any recommendations that you have?
Well, I might be putting up in Scareglow's house on Facebook. If you're not a member there and you love He-Man stuff, go to Scareglow's house. It's a fantastic group. I might be putting up a new figure / beast / steed up there tonight for people to get a chance to, you'll see. I'll show pictures.
Oh, yeah, I was told that you were talking some shit about me, I guess, when you were doing the
drawing. Because they like picking with my quality, and it's not picking on the tablet you gave me. I just let them know it's like older and big, meaning when I take this tablet and I try to film my shitty laptop's resolution, it just has a hell of an issue, because I have my old laptop, and then since this is a bigger thing, it's not like a smaller, you know, everybody's got the small cell phones, and everybody gets great clarity. Well, like I said, this is brand new what you got me, and like I said, thank you, I appreciate it, I'm not knocking it, I'm just saying it makes the quality kind of grainy, so I was like, god damn it, I was like, I can't get nothing with my old shit, and they're like, I think it might have been Matthew Dutch, said, oh, I'm telling Nathan, you're talking shit about him.
Yeah, because I got like tagged in it, I'm like, what the hell's going on over there?
That's all, it's just, this has a hell of a time picking up my laptop, so I got a good combination, but I said, hey, this works when I'm doing a podcast, you can see me fine. I said, just can't get, you know, other, you know, computer and other technology, that's all. So.
Yeah, but you're also doing it through Facebook, that might be part of it too. Because I've seen other Facebook, like when people go lives on their phone, and I'm just like, what? You can't really, it was like when you ran out there for that Christmas parade, I'm like, what is going on
that was
out
a disaster.
There?
That was a disaster.
But speaking of Joe's Customs, if you want him to make you something, click the link down below. He's got some t-shirts for sale. Go ahead and click that link as well. You got any new designs coming up? Anything planned for that?
There's a there's one thing I'm trying to shoot around, but when it pops up, I'll let everybody know. I wanted to put that Beast Manimal, where it was like Beast Man as Animal. I like redrew and then changed up, and I have Animal from the Muppets as Beast Man, so he's Beast Animal or Beast Manimal. I was like, I might put that up on a T-shirt because I think it was cool design. But yeah, we'll see what else I have coming.
Speaking
up.
Of Manimal, what that was like a TV show, right? Where the dude could like he could turn into any animal or something. Or he would,
you know,
he would
though,
have
as
like
much as I remember
he,
that
he would have
I
the abilities. He wouldn't turn into him. He would just have like the abilities of the animal. Right?
I'm gonna have to Google it because I actually didn't remember watching it as a kid. I remember that there was a series called Manimal, but I don't think I ever watched it. I don't think I did.
I don't know. And Joe had mentioned Masters of the Universe. If you guys are fans of that, guess what? Fans Power is back.
Yep.
So
you can catch us tomorrow.
Yep. Click that link down below and hit subscribe. And also, if you enjoyed this, make sure you hit subscribe on this. Like the video, share with your friends. Leave a comment down below. Let us know your thoughts on Hatchet and maybe some of the sequels. Are there some that you think we probably shouldn't watch and stay away from? Is it just like a steep decline after the first film? I'm kind of guessing there'll be a little bit of one. Yeah, I remember there being a big hubbub about Hatchet 2. Some theaters, I think it was like AMC theaters, weren't going to show it because it was so gory that they were like, we can't show this to the people. So I'll
have to check
that
out.
Check it out and see. But we hope you guys enjoyed. And until then, we will see you in the future to talk about the past. Take care, everybody.